My name is Sophie, and I have the privilege of introducing our chapel speaker today. I got to know him and his wife when I first moved to Reading, and they have impacted me greatly. His wife, Andrea, sorry to point her out, she's actually a Simpson alum, and when he was going to propose to her, he conspired with some of her Simpson roommates. So, just a fun fact. And then I asked his daughter, Sophia, for a fun fact, and she shared that he has way too many shoes. So that's a fun fact for you guys. If you guys would join me in welcoming Mr. Brown.
This is Mr. Brown. First name Mr., last name Brown. Has the amazing ability to communicate to students of all ages. Delivering his message to thousands each year. He grew up in a single parent home in the inner city, but attended a suburban school. From that experience, he learned that no matter where you come from or what situation you find yourself in, it all comes down to your choices. Are you ready? Well, get ready to join thousands of others and say,
I'm going to begin by saying hello, Simpson University. I want you to respond by saying hello, Mr. Brown. Try hello, Simpson University.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
This feels weird because I can barely see y'all. I like to see people I'm talking to, but I'm Mr. Brown, and people always ask me if this is true. My legal first name is Mr. I am Mr. Brown. Legally changed my name, Mr. Brown. I didn't want to have a stage name. Doing a lot of speaking around the country, people think you're popular or famous. I didn't want to have a stage name. You ever heard a guy named The Rock? Can you turn me down just a little bit? I don't hear myself. The Rock, he has a stage name and a real name, right? Well, I didn't want to be like him. I'm the same person everywhere I go, right? Except I wouldn't mind having a brother's muscles. Anybody with me say, oh, yeah. Anybody with me say, oh, yeah. I legally changed my name. And it's funny, going to schools around the country, some kids really think I am a celebrity. And one day I was at a school in Arbuckle, California, and I got done speaking and walked back onto the campus. The kids were outside. It was during COVID, and these kids start asking my autograph. They literally, these middle school kids surrounded me, asked my autograph. I'm like, okay, y'all just trolling me, right? Y'all messing with me, right? And they seriously did. One kid said, Mr. Brown, can you sign my forehead? I'm like, no. And the principal said, you should have did it. Let them know how silly that was. So last week in Weaverville, a kid asked me to sign his forehead. I said, no, I'm not signing your forehead. I said, I don't want your mama mad at me. He said, what if I ask my mama? I said, okay, sure. So we had a family night that night. My mom's here. She said, okay. I said, she did not. She said, yes, she did. Walked up to mom. Mom said, okay. So I signed a kid forehead. But I love what I get to do. I love to travel and speak across the country. I have a very simple message when I go to schools. It is this. When you make better choices, you will live a better life. When you make better choices, you will live a better life. When you make better choices, you will live a better life. Now, when a speaker says something like three times in a row, y'all should probably say it with them. When you make better choices, you will live a better life. It sounds so simple, right? It's a simple message that when you make better choices in life, your life will get better and better and better. And the older you get, the more truth that rings. I get no, yeah, my old heads, anybody with me say, right? You understand that you have the power to choose, that your choices really do matter in life. So I want to empower students to understand their choices matter. That's why whenever I say the words choose well, I want you to say, oh yeah, let's try it. Choose well. Now, you got to say it with some feeling like the Kool-Aid man. Y'all remember him? Choose well.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go. It's all about choices. So I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you for inviting me to be back at Simpson. Like she said before, my wife graduated from Simpson. I've been here several times to speak back when Pastor Travis was here. Now he's my pastor at VC Family. So I really enjoy coming to Simpson. But let me tell you a quick story. It's a story told of a woman who was 9 months pregnant. She went to the emergency room because she was 9 months pregnant. After hours and hours of labor, she gives birth to a happy baby boy. She's excited. The nurses are excited. Everybody's excited. You know, they bring the baby to the mom and she's got the baby on her chest. She was like, oh. Nurses are like, oh. Everybody say, oh. Well, they took the baby from that mom because they had to weigh the baby, measure the baby, make sure the baby's okay. While they're doing that, this mother says, well, I don't feel well. Something's wrong. They called the doctor back in, reexamined her, and they said, ma'am, so sorry. We did not see this. Today, you're not having one baby. You're having two. She didn't know. The doctor didn't know she was having twins. So 6 minutes after she gave birth to her first son, she gave birth to me. Where am I at? Show me, there we go. I don't know why my mama had me wearing a strawberry jumpsuit. I guess they were in style back then. But that's me and my twin brother. Who would guess I'm the baby on the right? Raise your hand. Who thinks I'm baby on the left? You guys are right. I'm the cute one. No, that's me and my twin brother, Travis. We're both cute. My brother was born with what they call, he's mentally disabled. People picked on him simply because he was born. He was picked on, put down, he stutters, he walked downstairs funny. Show the next picture of him right quick. This is my twin brother, a little older, that's how we are now. And people picked on him simply because I have a heart for kids and schools have programs for special needs kids. That's my twin brother. He's silly, goofy, next slide. He's just like me, we should like to have fun together. That's my twin brother. I also have a sister. I grew up with an older brother, younger brother, next figure. Older sister, younger brother, twin brother. Grew up there. I am not from California. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, way over there on the map right there. I was born and raised there. In 2001, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri. Then in 2009, I moved clear across the country, never place I heard of before, never thought of before, where I currently live. I live in Redding, California. Thank you. You cheered. I moved here because I fell in love with a beautiful woman. My wife, you can't see her, but she's back there. Everybody say, hello, Mrs. Brown. Fell in love with her. And so she had 1 year left at Simpson, and it was paid for. Can y'all say paid for? Therefore, we moved back here, and we're going to move back to the Midwest. But while I was here, I spoke in over 30 schools in this local area, and so we just stayed and made it our home. Next slide, picture of my beautiful wife, Andrea. She's amazing. People always say, what does she do? She does everything. She's smarter than me. She looks better than me. She does so much that people don't see, but we see it as a family. She nurses our family. Not only that, one year, and she loves how to learn. I'm telling y'all, she loves how to learn. So 1 year, we found some soap at Costco, and they stopped selling it. So we looked online, and it was way more expensive. So instead of buying expensive soap, my wife figured out how to make some soap. So now, for Christmas a couple years ago, she made soap boxes for all our people that we were business with, our vendors, family, and friends, and people loved the soap. And I said, babe, can we sell it? She just did it because she was just who she is. She loves to give. So now I don't have to buy any more soap. She made these boxes of soap scrubs and stuff. My wife is amazing. Can I get an oh yeah for my wife? She's amazing. And not just the stuff she does. And I think the beautiful thing about my wife is not just what she does, but what flows from her. She loves to serve. She loves to give, and she does great things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell her right now, if you visit our website, proclaimministry.com/Advent, we're doing a whole Advent series, and she made it all. She put the whole thing together. She does Bible studies. She's really amazing. So check out my wife. Matter of fact, give my wife a hand. She's back there. Make her smile. I know she don't want to be embarrassed, but together we have two children. My first daughter, her name is Sophia Grace. She's not that little anymore, but she was cute. She still is cute. She's much older now. The next slide, she is now right over school here. She goes to school over here. She's 13, beautiful daughter. Next slide. She's so giving and loving. One day she made a robot out of boxes, and she said, say robot, give her a command. She would do it, right? So daddy said, say robot, do the dishes. She goes, cannot compute. Next slide. She's also learning how to do ASL, and she wants to do it in Spanish as well. Daughter's really lovely. I have a son, too, together. His name is Evan Josiah Brown. He was born 10 pounds, 5 ounces. Can I get an oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. That's him right there. Lots of fun as a family. I don't have time to show a video. I usually show of him, but those are my two kids. Also have another daughter. Next slide. She is my next daughter, Jasmine. She's actually a vice principal in a school in Atlanta, Georgia. I love my kids. Last summer, we got to get together a little bit. Next slide. And hang out a little bit together. And the funny thing about my three kids, they chew just like they daddy. I feel sorry for my girls. We got together, we were eating together, and I watched them. I'm like, man, DNA is a real thing, right? These are the real things. It's my family. Next slide. So I share my family whenever I speak because, listen, I don't deserve a family. I don't deserve the blessings God has given me, and I'm so grateful for what he's done. So I share my family with people whenever I speak. Growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I understood the idea of choices, that every choice you make will make you who you are. So when I talk about choice, next slide, I usually talk about this puzzle because this outside edges of a puzzle reminds me of whenever people put really big puzzles together, like some of y'all go do during the holidays, you usually start with the outside edges first and see what goes in the middle. Well, this image represents all of our lives in this way. None of us chose how life began. You didn't choose your hair color, your skin color. You didn't choose where you grew up. You didn't choose any of those things. And sometimes life can be rough. You can be born into families of all kinds of problems. I work with kids who tell me all kinds of things. Kids who've been sexually abused. One kid was sexually, physically abused, him and all his siblings. The parents were arrested, they're in prison, and now he was adopted into a new family, and they did the same thing to him. And I talk to kids whose parents are on drugs. One kid said, "Where your mom?" My mom lives under the street in Anderson, under a bridge in Anderson. And they're dealing with these things. And I try to encourage the kids, listen, you didn't choose that. Just like I didn't choose to be born into a family where I didn't have a dad. Never had a man teach me how to be a man. My dad was too busy traveling the world, doing his own thing, getting other women pregnant. And so I lived in inner city Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I saw gang violence. I saw a guy get murdered on my front lawn. I felt so unsafe where I lived, I went out and bought a gun. But I was more afraid of mama finding a gun, so I gave the gun back. Because mama don't play that. Anybody with me say, oh yeah. I was never afraid of any gang member like my mama. But I didn't choose that for myself. And honestly, it was tough. Now, I did have a male role model for a little bit. It was my grandfather. He was the pastor of the church. He built the first Black Baptist church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was always in church, y'all. I kind of joke and say I was a drug baby because I was drugged to church. The idea that I didn't have a choice. Like some of y'all, when y'all grew up, well, I don't want to go to church today. That was not an option. We were always at church. However, even though I was in church, my heart was in the world. I was physically in church, and when I got older, I started playing the drums, and I liked playing the drums because I could see all the girls come around when they gave the offering. Anybody with me? And I started going to youth group because girls were there, right? My heart wasn't in there. I was in the church, but I was in the world. I was being discipled by the ways of the world, and it was very clear to me because I saw this dichotomy in my life where I saw this radio station that we listened to. It plays Snoop Dogg, R&B, all this stuff, right? And then on Sundays at 6 a.m., they became the gospel station. Then 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they went back to Snoop Dogg. Guess what? That was my life. Sunday morning was Jesus time. Wednesday, Saturday for rehearsal. But my heart was in the world. I was just going through the motions. Yeah, church is cool and all, but you know what? This is real life. And I didn't choose that for myself. But gratefully, God had begun to draw me to himself. Show the next slide. So everything I believe when it comes to choice, every choice, you get to choose this. Every moment of every day, we make choices. Next couple slides. That every individual choice will make us who we are. And I'm so grateful that God, even though I was making some bad choices, God was moving me to make some different choices in my life. And so I think about this, that the idea that I didn't choose to grow up in church, I didn't choose these things. However, I was making some choices. At the age of 13, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember playing the drums one day. My cousin, he played the organ and piano. And whenever my grandfather got up to preach, we would go downstairs and have a little soda break or whatever, right? So I asked him, hey, what does it mean to trust Christ your Savior? I've been around all this, but I haven't made that decision myself. I knew that. At the age of 13, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I truly believe I became a Christian. However, I wasn't discipled. And I can look back and see evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life working in different ways and drawing me away from the things I was being drawn to. Now, for me, growing up in the hood, I saw all kinds of drugs. But I've never been drunk in my life, never been high in my life. My struggles with girls and relationships. But I never did those things. I saw some things differently. God was drawing me to himself. And even though I was offered drugs and alcohol, I had one standard answer. Whenever my friends or people in the hood or in suburban school offered me drugs, my answer was always this: I'm good. I'm good. So whenever they offered these things, I said, I'm good. I don't need that. Right? And eventually they stopped asking. They stopped offering it because I didn't want that offer. So today I want to talk about the offer. Everybody say the offer. Because we get offered all kinds of things. And I still have the same answer when I go to Walmart. And they're outside selling stuff in front of Walmart. I'm good. You want to sign my petition? I'm good. You want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? Do you see this gut? No. All right? So I'm good. So I want to talk about this offer that I believe all of us have been extended by God for an offer. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. I believe we have an offer. We have an offer. Get your phones out. If you got your phones, feel free. Get your phones out. Get your Bibles. I think coming to chapel, listen to the word of God. I didn't put it on the screen. I didn't have time to make the slides, but we all got these devices. Amen? Romans chapter 5. I want to talk about this offer because in this room, we have several groups of people. Some of y'all here because y'all got to get chapel credit. Can I get an oh yeah? Yep. Oh, yeah. Some of you here because you want to be here. Some of you come to Simpson, to come to university because it's got a good nursing program or maybe sports, but maybe your hearts, you haven't received the offer that God has given. Maybe you are a Christian and you're living for God and you love God. And I think I want to say this, keep cherishing that, protect that. Keep receiving the grace of God every day. But some of you may be Christians and like I was, struggling to get along, to be along. I know what's truth, but I wasn't living it out. What was it that was causing me to have this struggle? I was distracted by all the things in the world. So today I want to look at this passage because there's an offer for all of us today. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, he says this. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Verse 10. For For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In this passage, for me, I found so much truth. Because as I was struggling to live for God, I was struggling in the church, going to church, and I struggled going to church because I went to church, everybody was happy. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Everybody doing so good. I'm struggling. I do believe this thing. And what happened to me, around my 20s, I started listening to preachers on purpose. I wasn't just forced to listen to pastors at Sunday. I started listening to cassette tapes. Y'all know what cassette tapes are back in the day? Cassette tapes of preachers like Tony Evans, Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll, a guy named J. Vernon McGee. I started listening to teaching of the Word of God. And I'm like, wow, this is blowing my mind. Because I spent a little time trying to go out in the world, go to the clubs, do all that stuff the world told me would give me happiness, satisfaction. And guess what? It fell flat. Although I was in church, I was still going to the club, still listening to Snoop Dogg, telling me what to do with my body, what to do with my mind. So I was struggling. And I said, there's more to this life than just me going through the motions. And some of you may be there where, yes, we love God, but we were singing these songs, but then we get out in our car. What are we worshiping in the car? What's in your ear? Is it helping you draw closer to the God who gave himself for you? And I get it, because I grew up in church where I thought it was all about you doing the right stuff. You had to meet the standards for God to love you. But this verse tells me this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's not waiting on us to become some better version of ourselves. He loves in despite of ourselves. See, some of us, we get this message of Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Now I got to keep earning it. That was me on this little roller coaster thing. Like, what's the thing called? Not a roller coaster. The hamster wheel, right? Where I'm trying to perform for God, perform, because he's going to love me. If I don't keep performing, he won't love me. But this verse says, guess what? I've been reconciled. Not because of my work, but what the work has been done on the cross. I got to rest. I got to receive that offer. See, the offer was, come to me. Come to me as you are. Come to me. The offer wasn't, hey, why don't you get better, then come to me. God didn't tell the Israelites, hey, once y'all keep the Ten Commandments, then y'all can come to me. No, come to me, and I will empower you to live for me. I didn't get that message. I was like, I got to keep doing. And I'm getting exhausted. Then in my quiet life, I would give up because it's not worth it. When ain't nobody else looking, I'm going to do what I want to do. But when I go to church, I'm praising Jesus. I'm playing the drums. I'm happy. I'm blessed and highly favored, but I'm struggling. This passage reminds me that, listen, he says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and you. We were the ungodly. Then he goes, for scarcely one would die for a righteous person. That's kind of a dig on us because guess what? We're not in that category. We're not the righteous person. Think about this. Have you ever seen a movie where the villain, the hero died for the villain? Maybe they've changed. I used to watch Batman, and Batman and Robin, the one I used to watch, they would crawl up on the wall with the little rope thing. That's the old Batman. I don't know what's going on. I saw that Batman and Superman had a fight. Y'all know about that? And I'm like, who broke up the Justice League? Man, that cartoon was good. But the point of all this superhero and the villain is this. We are the villains that Christ died for while we were still in our sins. He didn't say, get better, then I'll die for you. He said, come to me. So the question is this. What are we doing with this great gospel, this great gift of salvation? Did I receive the offer and now say, okay, I got the offer. Now I'm going to keep performing and keep it. No. I love this passage. But look at verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified. Everybody say justified. I've been justified, y'all. When I started in my early 20s, I started reading Bibles and Bible dictionaries and understanding who I am in Christ, reading Romans chapter 6 about sin. Understand I've been justified, not by my works, but by what Christ has done. See, many of you, when you have arguments with your parents or your parents tell you something, you try to justify why you did what you did. My kids do it all the time. Hey, Evan, can you pick that up? Well, I didn't ask you what you were doing. I just asked you to pick it up. How much more do I do the same thing? I try to justify myself before the world. I'm walking around trying to get approval from all y'all so y'all can accept me. And the truth is this, if I'm doing it, I'm gonna be exhausted. And when I understand I'm accepted by God, if I get your acceptance, that's extra. I don't wanna be an arrogant person, but guess what? I'm grateful I can be accepted by him. And some of us have trusted Christ, but we're still trying to hide. We're still trying to hide that secret part. God knows anyway. I just recorded a podcast yesterday about this idea that the reason we may have a not such a close relationship with God is because we're unwilling to confess. Not just our sins, but everything. You know that attitude you got toward your professor, your roommate, your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend? God knows. Be real with God. And I think sometimes we don't want to be real with God because we feel if we do, God will reject us. That's human relationships. Anybody with me? Say, oh, yeah. If I show who I truly am, they will reject me. They won't love me. They won't accept me. If they know the thoughts I had, if they know the things that I've done in the past, so I'm trying to hide. I won't show anybody that. But God knows all of that, and he still loves us, and he accepts you. Come to me. We've been reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. That sets me free. The offer is there. I got to receive the offer, the full offer, not just the mental descent of the idea that, yeah, I know Christ died. I'm going to accept that. But no, I get to be free in him. Reconciled, no longer enemies. Look what he says in verse 9. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. When I understood that I am no longer under the wrath of God, that made me feel real good. For a long time, I was walking around going, okay, if he catches me doing that. Matter of fact, I was even taught, if you don't confess your sins before you die, you go into hell. What? Christ died for my sins, past, present, and future. Amen? I'm fully, freely forgiven in Jesus Christ. I've been reconciled to God the Father because of the work of Christ on the cross. It's not about what I do and don't do. It's about what's been done. And I'm not saying we should go out and live any kind of way because, listen, when you're in love, you live a different way. Y'all follow me? See, I don't know if it was love back in the day when I was a kid, but when I had this girlfriend, we'd be on the phone. And back then, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. We had the cell phones with had the long cord, right? And you take the cord, you had be in the bed like, you hang up. No, you hang up. you hang up first. You're on the phone all night, right? Why? You do crazy stuff when you're in love. Not because you're trying to earn it, because of your place with that person. Y'all follow me? But I understood and understanding that I am freely, fully loved in Christ, that leads me to a place of I can live for him. I don't have to perform anymore. I can be me. I can be reconciled. I look at verse 10. He says, for if while we were enemies, and we were enemies of God, we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Now, when I read that passage, I had to look, what is he talking about? And it made me think of Romans chapter 6. It says, I have a new life in Christ. I've been raised with Christ. Amen? I have a new life. The old is gone. Every time Satan tries to bring up my past, I'm like, well, look at Christ. Look at Christ. That's what that is. I do remember the things that I did, the things that I was putting my attention toward. Running away from God. And God knows that, but yet he still loves me. I've been reconciled. Amen? The idea that many of us are running from the one who loves us. We're hiding from the one who've been reconciled to. We've been reconciled to God. We're no longer enemies of his. What does that look like? How do I apply that truth that I've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Number one, if I'm a follower of Christ, which I believe I am, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I said to Christ that, listen, I believe that I've sinned. I admit that I've sinned. I believe that Christ died for me, that he took the penalty for my sins, and I trust Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not relying on anything else for me to be right with you, God. I'm relying on the only one who's able to die and pay for my sins. I'm trusting in Christ. Now that I'm trusting in Christ, guess what? I got to keep trusting in Christ. Not to stay saved, but to live this life. Being a human is hard. Can I get an oh, yeah? There's so many temptations, so many things around us. But guess what? I need to keep my focus on the one who came, who lived and died for me. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. I was taught kind of like this idea that you got to be disciplined. And I think being disciplined can be a good thing. You know, get up in the morning, do your push-ups, do some things so you can have a routine, right? But the freedom we have in Christ doesn't come from me being more disciplined. It comes from me having a better relationship. It was bought. My relationship has been bought with the price, the precious blood of Christ. It's a relationship thing I'm leaning into, not what I can perform and do anymore. It's about what he's done. I may sound repetitive, but we need repetition, amen, to remind us what Christ has done. And I'll give you some examples real quick. And I told her I was going to talk about some Bible verses of what Jesus interacted with people. One of the favorite stories right now is I'm looking at is the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, when Jesus approached this well, he approached a Samaritan woman and started talking to her. And she's like, why are you talking to me? Because Jews and Samaritans, we don't get down like that. We don't talk. But he knew what she needed. So he began to talk to her, offered his living water. She said, well, let me get some of that water, Jesus. He said, well, this water I'm talking about will lead to everlasting life. And then she says, well, tell me more. And he says, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right, you don't have one. And the one you're with now is not yours. Ooh, that's embarrassing. Can I get no yeah? Even in the passage, she says, I perceive you're a prophet, right? So you're telling me about myself, right? Why would Jesus do that? Because in order for her to see the truth of who he was, she had to see who she was. And at that point, she was exposed, but now she's exposed, she can be free to be who she is before Jesus. And Jesus showed who he was. She went and told everybody else. The town came out to meet this Jesus she met. Jesus said to her, hey, go get it right with your relationships. Come back to me, then I'll tell you who I am. Jesus offered himself to her. John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, caught in the act of adultery. What did he say to her? Go and sin no more. Zacchaeus, one of my favorite stories, little Zacchaeus. You know a little song about Zacchaeus, little wee little man was he, right? Jesus, he was a tax collector, he was a traitor, he was a sinner, but yet Jesus called him, said, I'm coming to your house today. What about the Apostle Paul who killed Christians, who celebrated Christians being killed and martyred? What did Jesus? Jesus knocked him off his horse and came to him. Said, hey, you're mine. And the thing is this, I had to learn, I think we have to learn, that it's not about what we can offer to Jesus, it's what he offers to us. He wants me. He wants you. Not what you can do for him, because the truth is this, we can't do anything for God. God does not need us. God works through us, amen? So think about this passage, and I didn't really exegete this passage, so if any Bible teachers in here, excuse me for not doing that. But the idea is this, Christ died for you. Will you receive that offer, the full offer? Come to him. He's reconciled you to himself. Not because of what you can do or not do. Not because of your performance. It sounds kind of like if you grew up in church here over and over again, but guess what? I will never get sick of hearing the gospel. Amen? That Christ died for me. Now I get the privilege to live for him. Let me read one more passage to you before we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. I like this whole passage. I was listening to it on the way up here. And I really like, if you listen to the Bible, because like I'm not like my wife. She can read like 5 books in one weekend. That's not me. I like listening to stuff. So I listen to the Bible. There's a Bible app called Bible.is. It's an amazing app, and they read to you dramatized. So I listen to it, and I love verse 14. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for the one, for their sake, died and was raised. What motivates me, what keeps me going, is the love of Christ. He loved me and gave himself for me. I am free in him. I'm giving my life to him. Not to earn it, but because I'm grateful for it. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity to just open your word together. And it feels kind of weird not to be able to see these people's eyes. But I thank you that we come together to hear from you. And I pray as we leave this room that we would think about the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. There's people who come to church in college who around the Bible, but they haven't personally received the offer that you provide. That Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to scriptures. And if we trust in what Christ has done, that we will have our sins forgiven. Another verse says we become children of God through faith in Christ. That relationship through your son. Thank you that you reconciled us to yourself by the death of your son. Not that we had to do it, but it has been done for us. So in this room, we have people who are walking with you, God. I pray you bless them. Continue to help them continue to walk daily with you. Those in this room who have trusted you, but yet they're being swayed by the world and they're struggling. Lord, let them know they can confess their sins to you. Not only their sins, but even how they're feeling, because you know already. If there's troubles in their lives and they don't want to tell you that they hate the situation they're in, help them know that you know it already. Help them to be free with you. We put on so many airs and fronts around other people. Help us to be bare and open before you and walk with you. And we may have people in this room, Lord, who may have heard of you but are consistently rejecting the offer. They're saying, I'm good. I don't need you. The truth is, they do need you. I pray you would continue to show your love to them, pursue them in a way that's irresistible. God, you're great and you're greatly to be praised. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. May we choose each day, may we choose well each day to live for him. In Jesus' name, amen.